You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello and welcome to the Screener Squad, where today we are reviewing The Legend of Cocaine Island. And if you're wondering whose voice this is, well, my name is Alan, newly anointed member on One of Us, and I'm also joined here with somebody else. Go ahead and introduce yourself, man.
I'm Frank. I've done a couple of these already before, but it's been a little while, so I'm just trying to get my sea legs back again. But yeah, appropriate, okay, since we're talking about a film about an island, so... Yeah.
Yes. Well, I say we jump right into that with that good segue. So basically, Legend of Cocaine Island is this crazy kind of documentary story about it involves various different people that you wouldn't expect to meet up. So basically what happens is this duffel bag washes up on shore. Some random dude finds it and he's like, oh man, maybe this could be money. He's like, no. It turns out this is like kilograms of cocaine, like 30, 40 kilograms of cocaine.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh shit, what the fuck do I do?
We're in Florida, right? This is in Florida, right?
Yeah. No, it's not Florida. He's currently in a Puerto Rican island, as they mentioned in the movie. I can't remember the pronunciation. But he's freaking out. He's like, well, what am I supposed to do? I don't know anybody that can sell this. I don't know what to do with this. So he just buries it and goes about his life for like a decade.
Yes, yes.
Until again, the second player of this story... I forgot his name, but they mentioned it a bunch of times in the
Rodney.
Movie.
His name is Rodney.
Yeah, Rodney.
Yeah, he would have a name like Rodney with everything he does in this movie.
Oh, yeah. So basically, yeah, we then jump to Rodney's story where he explains, like, oh, he was a construction worker, but because of the recession, the housing crisis back in like 2007, 2008, he lost everything. And then when he moves over to Florida, he starts hearing stories about this guy with the cocaine stuff. And then starts to get the idea, it's like, well, why don't I dig it up and maybe I can help my family out? And that's the intro to our story. That's pretty much like the basis of it. Like, well, I'm going to go get this cocaine. I'm going to find a way to sell it. I'm going to make some money so that I can get out of debt so that I can help my family.
Yeah.
And that's the premise of this documentary. So I'll throw it to you. What did you think of it?
You know, I think it would have made like a much more... Well, first of all, you got to say that this thing plays out like almost like a cartoon. In a lot of ways. No, it really does, because first of all, everyone, and these are all such larger than life personalities. Like, there's no subtlety with any person that's interviewed here. There's this guy who's obviously tweaking on something. It's like, you know, the sort of like the middleman between Rodney and...
Yeah, I think his name is Andy.
Yeah, I guess as a friend of his son's, and you know, and you have his wife who's like so materialistic, you know, crying because she had to leave her subdivision when the recession hit, and they had to, like, we got 4 years in a double wide. It's like, oh my god. But
we had to go from a 3600 house to still a house, you know. I was so mad at her, because basically what happens is the Rodney character, he made it really big in construction, so
yeah,
he's doing construction, $20 million projects here and there. He prospered like a lot of people in construction around that time, but when the housing crisis hit, everyone got hit.
And
so,
there is some,
but the thing is, like,
well, there is. I mean, I'm thinking maybe I'm being a little harsh, because there is something to like making your own money and being a self-made man and having it all go away. That can't be the easiest thing in the world. So, but still, I
true,
mean,
but she,
yeah, she just,
she's clearly materialistic.
Yeah, she
like
kinda,
very materialistic.
She kinda is, yeah, he took it better than she did, I think, probably. But anyways.
Oh.
But it's I mean, everyone here is such a cartoon character, and it's one of those documentaries, you know, that plays out like has the actual people recreating what they did in present day for the sake of, you know, recreation. And as soon as I saw they were going down that route, I thought, oh my gosh, you guys are sort of you haven't lost me, but you're pushing it.
Yeah, because I looked into this, because basically they take a lot of liberties. They have a lot of people. This is a classic documentary where they have someone in front of a camera, the crew says questions, but the questions aren't audible. So you have the people going, and then I did this. Oh yeah, that time with this, and then they'll jump to a character, or they'll jump to kind of this recreation scene in the bar. It's like, oh man, when I talk to this guy, when I talk to that guy. But they're getting the actual people that are responsible for this.
Yeah.
And that's actually one of the things I enjoy, because I love these kinds of stories, because for anyone that's watched Cocaine Cowboys, it's kind of in the same vein as those kinds of stories of these people talking about what it was like just to basically be in this life. But you're seeing this from a normal dude's perspective where he's like, I'm not really, like, he even says, like, I'm not looking to get in the drug business. This is just a one-time thing. But when you see all these different people talking about this story, it just, it weaves itself into something that you would not expect this to be real
Well,
life.
it's this
And they mentioned that a bunch of times where this is like a weird ass, one police officer mentions, like, I have never, in 25 years of law enforcement, ever seen a criminal give us a treasure map.
Exactly. I mean, and the story is so enticing, and it's so fantastic, but it is just like this close to reality that you think, well, I can be a part of this. I can go ahead, and it's not something that's beyond me. And if I do achieve it, I mean, my gosh, look how, look what the
And
reward
it's also
is.
that weird 6 degrees of separation, because, like, so the main character, Rodney, he doesn't really know how to deal with it. He had the same problem with the guy who found the cocaine. He's like, well, even if I got it, what am I going to do with it? But he just happens to know because of his outreach program, like, he's helping all these people. He just happened to know somebody that was, a user, which is the other person, Andy. And he's like, well, I know a guy who they call D in the Cuban. I'm like, I don't know how you got either of those nicknames, but hey, all power to you. And it jumps to them talking, and it's like, I love documentaries. Because they're able to take all of these real life stories and they're able to string it together in a dramatic narrative that has twists and turns and things you
Exactly.
don't expect.
That's the mark of a
And it
good
does it really,
documentary.
really well.
Yeah. It does do that. But I mean, it's hard. It's this guy is so pathetic. Oh my gosh, he's so pathetic because he's so out of his elements, but he's thinking that he's got it, that he's thinking he's in his element, and
Well, he thinks it's a business. He thinks he's a businessman, because one thing he mentions is like, oh man, my father always got taken care of. I was never going to do that. I'm a businessman. And it's like, yeah, he kind of thinks, well, all this is a product and I need to sell it for money. I'll find someone who can buy the product. Easy, right? It's like, no, you're dealing in a world in which people backstab for a living. You're dealing with illegal substances and people do anything to get you to go to prison so they don't have to. And it's like,
It's the
he's out of his
epitome.
element, but it's like, yeah.
It's the epitome of someone diving in head first. And he's just so taken by the romanticism of, I mean, he mentions he's seen Scarface a number of times, and he loves the idea. It's like a kid playing pirates, I mean, or cowboys and Indians. It's
Yeah, of
he's
course.
just so he's so taken by the idea of it and the fact that it could lead to genuine wealth. But he's so blinded by that, but he doesn't realize that A, this, he says to himself, it's too good to be true. He doesn't take into account the fact that, he could get caught, or B, he doesn't know, he doesn't have the wherewithal to make this happen all the way to the end, and the way for him to get the outcome he's actually expecting. At the same time, though, I liked how I respect this guy for being so forthcoming. And this is no question the lowest point of his life, and being from that small sort of Florida, area he's from, everybody knows about this, and so having him relive this for Netflix is, couldn't have been the easiest thing in the world. And but the fact that he says, he does take ownership of it, and I gotta give respect to that.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because yeah, everyone here is kind of telling their version of the story. Because like one of the characters, the drug user Andy, he starts off as like, if you knew where $2 million to bury, would you dig it up? And that's kind of the crux of this entire story. Is like,
It really is, yeah.
it also gets you thinking of like, shit, what would you do? And it's like you start this off with going, yeah, of course it would. Then you end it with like, ew, I don't know about that. Because there's a one point near the end where the guy's like, oh, go to trunk and grab thing, and I'm like. I didn't know the story because this is based on a true story.
Yes,
I didn't actually
it
know the story, but as soon as I saw like car in a parking lot,
is.
I don't know,
I
buddy. That
know.
seems suspicious. I would have walked away,
That's
but then
exactly.
again, you can't really like walk away from these situations. So it's like once you're in, you're in.
Exactly. If
You know,
you
you can't just like, yeah.
if you're that close as he's got, and he worked for to get to that point, I mean, that's a toughie. I could see why he wanted to carry on and why he went to that trunk, but I could also see like the rational side of no, that smells so wrong, more than the rest of this has smelled, before, all the way up to this. But yeah, It's interesting. You know, I just watched the Fire documentary.
Oh yeah, Fire Festival. Yeah,
yeah, and I mean, I watched it last month, so it wasn't, you know, wasn't that recent. But I think it's funny because they both share similarities, and they both have this central figure who is so what's that saying? Their grasp exceeds their reach, or you know?
Oh yeah, 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 you got it. Their grasp exceeds their reach.
They're both. I mean, they both share that quality, and you know, they're both like, you know, going for like different versions of the American dream, and it's just
true.
You know, it's just a testament. It's just testament to how powerful and how toxic the idea, the image of the American dream is.
I'd go with two different versions of it. One person is doing it for their own personal idea. One person is like. You kind of sympathize with him throughout the course of the movie because he is just doing it to make sure his family lives. Like he says, it starts like, I'm like almost $1 million in debt. It's like,
but there's also a personal glory for him as well. I feel.
Because he watched all the Scarface movies, but like at the end of it, it's like I get it more so than some of the other characters in this documentary. Because like, yeah, one of the people he's dealing with is like. Yeah, I'm just in it for the money. That's it. He's like, yeah, drug dealing is easy. Like one of the, I guess the only real drug deal is they meet in this documentary. He's like, yeah, this is just super easy. Anyone could do it if you work hard enough. He's the one that basically supports the American dream and is the one that's like, well, I'm going to try to make sure of this because I can get a lot of fucking money out of this. Because at the end of it, you deal with so many different versions of greed of how this is actually going to happen. So many different people get played into this.
Yeah.
But I could talk all day about how much I enjoy this, but I guess just to slowly, I guess, wheedle to the end.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't enjoy, okay, so, because I looked this up, the guy who directed / edited this, he's like, oh man, I think documentaries are boring as hell. I went to make an entertaining movie. And you see that a lot because they love their dramatic music in this.
Oh my gosh.
Holy
that,
shit.
That DJ Nobody song when the cops descend. I mean, that's like, I mean, that's right out of a Hollywood blockbuster, and in a way, yeah, I could tell that this is edited or pieced together by someone who doesn't watch a lot of like, you know, like fly on the wall documentaries sort of type stuff. Yeah. But it, you know, it wasn't boring, you know.
It definitely wasn't. So it's like it was entertaining. Just, I could have honestly done without like some of the dramatic music was necessary, was needed, especially as they built up to a reveal. But then there's other times where I'm like, man, what are you doing, dude? Yeah. This music does not fit this situation.
No, I think also, I mean, this is not a big story. It's essentially, yeah, we went there, we came back, and we went there again, and I got busted. You know, I mean, this was only like an hour and 20 something minutes.
And it fills its time really, really well. Like obviously I always with these things I just want more. Like I want more stuff, but I'm like, this actually does it relatively well within an hour and a half. It doesn't feel like, oh man, there's an hour story. It's like, no, they got the story. Would just been gravy.
Is it long as it needs to be?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Although I would love to see a documentary based on that guy who that hippie guy
the guy who started all this.
What's his name? Jasper?
Julian.
Julian, that's right, Julian. Yeah, I think a documentary follow that guy around. That'd be a trip. I mean, really.
Yeah, because his story is very quick. He's like he found the duffel bag and sat on it for 15 years before this story began.
Yeah. Oh gosh, but he's like the kind of guy who wouldn't want that much money probably.
He even mentions that. But I guess it's a good time to go into final thoughts. So I'll let you start with that final thoughts and rating.
I think we pretty much said it all. I think this story A is as long as it needs to be, but it is a sort of it is another comment on the American dream, of which there are many, and it is largely cartoonish, mainly because the people in it are so cartoonish that they're, and I don't mean that as a pejorative. I think that they're really they're just so larger than life, and they're really emotional and expressive, and but they're what makes it interesting, you know, and they really do give that in their own way a human feel to it. Right. You know, this, I got, like I said before, I got to hand it to this guy who was willing to rehash the darkest time of his life, and you know, bare all for the camera. I thought he milked a little bit his whole like his redemption in terms of how much he got out of working for Habitat for Humanity, but maybe that's genuine. I don't know. Overall, I could see his pro. I could see the temptation. Anybody could.
Of
Even
course.
those that would just shut it down completely when first being offered it, they would, you know, we're all human. We're all subject to wanting our desires, you know, fulfilled. And so it's hard, you know, I don't pity him, I don't hate him. But hey, it made for a great story and it made for a pretty
Definitely.
solid documentary. So I gotta give this, I guess, 7.5 out of 10 kilos of coke buried somewhere that hopefully nobody will ever see.
Okay, well, I guess that's a good thing to jump on. So, yeah, I loved it. I had a great time with this. This is probably one of the first things since joining and doing stuff for the screen. It's called that I legit enjoyed this movie because if you all been hearing my stuff, I've been having a rough time the last couple of months. So
Yeah.
it's begun to genuinely enjoy this, and this is great because I love Cocaine Cowboys. I love all that kind of stuff where it's like
Yeah.
these real life stories. You're taking these real people and these real stories, and you're having them tell it. You're having them edit. You're editing it around to make this a really interesting, like almost like a television show. So I was enthralled from start to finish. My problems are very slight, so it's like I just love it. It's like, yeah, this regular dude is just dealing with this incredible situation, and everyone's telling their stories so interesting that I'm like, I'm stuck on every single word they're saying.
Yeah.
So for me, this is like definitely 3.5 out of 4 maps to buried treasure. Like this is bit a high praise for me. Like,
Awesome. Nice.
okay.
Cool.
Well then, I guess that's it for us. Now let's go find some buried treasure then. Y'all have a good night.